Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Sometime in the not-too-distant future, our medical landscape will look like this. You will 3D print a new organ to replace a diseased one. A robot will remove plaque from your arteries, and you will not need stent surgery. If you have the gene that shows you're predisposed to colon cancer, a snip here, a snip there, and boom, you will cut it out of your DNA. Some 100 years ago, most people couldn't imagine a world with antibiotics, immunizations, or MRI-guided robotic surgery performed on a patient in an operating room in Cleveland, Tennessee, by a surgeon in Cleveland, Ohio. But they're all very real and becoming commonplace in modern medicine. So today, you may not be able to fathom the 3D robot DNA scenarios above and many other incredible medical advances, but they await us and they're coming fast, and they are very real. In fact, well, before I do that, I should tell you, you are listening to You, the Owner's Manual radio podcast on Radio MD or iHeart. This is 1020A. It is our 20th anniversary edition. Well, you say 52 times 20, that's not 1020, that's 1040. Yes, but always between Christmas and New Year's, we do have a best of show. So this is our anniversary show. 1020 A and B will both be about the great age reboot or longevity. In fact, longevity and this reboot is coming fast. It's almost already here. In fact, many of these changes are already here. We're living on this cusp, a period of scientific and intellectual development and advances that will change the way we live, feel, and act, as well as a period that will change the entire landscape of society. That's why we believe that longevity is the next disruptor and the greatest disruptor. All the other disruptors, like the chip, micro, not potato, obviously, may have changed or improved your life. But this last disruptor is the chip, and it's now over 55 years old. The great age reboot won't just improve your life, it will give you more of it. In the next 10 years, we believe the world will rocket into new norms of aging, new population increases, new lifespans, new ways of living. The changes will be radical, and they will come fast. The healthier you are when they arrive, the more they can help you. We believe you have to prepare yourself for this revolutionary reboot. That's why I'm doing this special on our 20th anniversary, so that you can benefit fully. That's what this special is all about, to reveal the changes that are coming, explain what they mean to you in society, and what you can do today to be ready for the future. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The Great Age Reboot will be defined by sweeping and powerful advances that will extend your life and improve the quality in what will seem like unbelievable ways. Ultimately, though, living longer and being both healthier and wealthier while you do so has a lot to do with you. You must make good choices now. That's what You, the Owner's Manual, is all about. You must take good care of your body and brain. You must save wisely every day. And there are two ways that longevity will increase and accelerate it: advancing medical and scientific discoveries over which most of us don't have any control, and self-engineering your DNA, which we all control through our own life decisions. And you have more control than you think of. These engineering methods will reinforce each other. And there's a great societal impact as well, and a very positive feedback loop. Greater economic advances fuel medical advances and vice versa. Quality longevity. We've lived about 2.5 years longer every 10 years since 1880. That's, we've gained 40 years in the last 140 years. Well, in the next 10 years, the prediction is we'll gain 30 years. If 60 is the new 40 now, compared to 1980. 90 will be the new 40 by 2030. That's the prediction. You're not just going to be living longer, you'll extend the period of time between 30 and 60 to between 30 and 90. And being 110 years old will be the new 75. You're going to be extending your most productive years by decades. And these changes that have already occurred in computers and communication and energy generation, even food production, are starting to happen in the worlds of aging and longevity, because the investments in aging research, and that's what we're going to talk about for the rest of this A and B segment, and are happening exponentially fast. The number of research papers in the field of anti-aging and longevity doubles every month. An inexpensive genetic mapping reduces the time and cost of attacking new health threats that arise. Currently, there are 14 commonly accepted hypotheses of the mechanisms of aging, and researchers are dissecting every one of them to see how these hypotheses show us what can be done to change or slow the deterioration that our bodies occur. Which of those 14 will be the most accepted or most used? It's hard to say, but we do have some guesses on where the research is right now. And that's what is so important in what we're going to talk about. So let's get to a couple of these right now. And by the way, I'm going to talk about, if you will, this. And there is a real societal and economic benefit, because compounding allows you and allows society to be wealthier and to have medical costs really be greatly reduced and to have much more disposable income as you go forward. But that's not in the A and B segments that we'll talk about. That's actually in other areas. So let's go and talk about now some of these areas. And I'm going to say, as I said, there are 14 areas, but let me get a little bit into the idea of what will happen. And then maybe at the end of the B segment, we'll talk about what the world will look like, we believe. The current things are rejuvenation, which is slowing aging. That's doing those things in real age that we popularized in 1998 and are still popular today. Stress management, getting the right amount of sleep, doing the four components of physical activity that are the minimum for maximum health gain. Eating right and, as I said, managing stress and not making unforced errors. But what we're going to talk about now isn't these rejuvenation things. They're important, and they're really important from the standpoint of preparing. But we're going to talk about the cellular, if you will, changes. In other words, why stem cells? Why senolytic drugs? Well, we'll get to a whole bunch. Why epigenetic changes? So let's go and talk about some of these now. And we'll go as long as we, maybe another 10 minutes on this episode, on the A segment, and then the B will continue and talk about more of these. So people who typically develop heart failure after a series of heart attacks live in a tough spot, and that's why stem cells are one of our greatest hopes for a longer and healthier life. So of the 14 things, stem cells are one of them. So what happens if they, and people can't, who have heart failure, can't exercise, they must lower their salt and sodium intake, they must watch their diets much more carefully. And if they don't, they end up in an emergency room, or worse, because they've lost the heart cells that can effectively pump blood. The disease destroyed the heart cells and replaced them with fibrous tissue, or heart cells become unable to contract in the right sequence due to damage. And those cells can cause their normally neighboring cells, which are still normal, to pump a little out of sequence and thus inefficiently. The heart is damaged and the effect is profound. Breathing becomes a struggle for these patients, if not damn near impossible, because the lungs fill with fluid. The life expectancy of those at this stage of heart failure is, in fact, much less than you would think. How long do you think that the stage is? Well, it turns out it's only about, guess what, 18 months. And that's why this is such an important thing, if you will. 18 months isn't very long, obviously. But there's some changes coming, and we mentioned stem cells. So what is going on with stem cells? Well, in February 2020, that's whatever it is, 10 months or so ago, Japanese regulators agreed to permit 20 heart failure patients to enter a study to judge whether the use of stem cells could, in essence, save them from their death sentence. Now, stem cells are really the matriarch of the human body, the ones from which all other cells are derived. In practice, this means that your specialized cells, heart, brain, all others, come from your stem cells. And a certain class of stem cells was used in Japan called iPSCs, induced pluripotent stem cells. These are cells that the researchers harvested from old cells and regressed them back into stem cells, and then have the ability to self-renew by dividing and developing. Using Nobel Prize-winning technology, it was also developed in Japan by Dr. Yamanaka, iPSCs are harvested from donor tissues, returned to their immature state, and then returned to a human body. The cells can then develop into any type of cell with the help of exosomes or specific growth factors, and then repair damaged cells. Implanted in the heart, they can release chemicals that can help form healthy vessels and improve cardiac function. So in the experiment, 20 to 25 million young, healthy, strong cells are implanted through microsurgery into these 20 research subjects' damaged, failing hearts. Scientists had programmed and cultured the stem cells to produce infant heart cells, and then these infants were amazing because they had no immune markers that would cause rejection. In 6 weeks, those infant cells replaced the function and actually recycled the proteins from the poorly functioning older heart failure cells in those patients. In the first two patients, after 6 months, early indication showed that the technique was working, essentially reversing the damage and restoring those heart failure patients' hearts to youthful function. Now, let's be clear. We don't know if the treatment will work or for how long. Will these new stem cells always become heart cells? Will they synchronize with their neighboring cells? Will it work with all the causes of heart failure? Well, the answers remain unclear. But the hope is that this stem cell rejuvenation can extend life expectancy, not by months, but by years, more than 20 years. Medical scientists think that by 2030, we'll be able to do this replacement process to any organ or tissue or structure except maybe your brain, although it could apply to parts of your brain, too. In fact, in late 2020, researchers from a variety of entities, including the University of Barcelona, developed neurons from stem cells that could be injected into the brain. This is the world we're living in. One in which a death sentence can be turned into a life extension with the energy those heart failure patients had 30 years ago. And that is the promise and the hope of medical advances resolving around stem cells. Now, we like to think of stem cells like a master impressionist, you know, like a comedian who can perform with 1,000 voices. That's because the very nature of the initial or embryonic stem cell is that it can turn into any cell in the body. After all, you started with 8 cells or 4 cells or 2 cells or 1 cell that became 4 and then 6 and then 8. And those 8 cells, some of them turn into heart cells and some into neurons, etc. They can get rid of their trait. And what we need to do is find pluripotent cells. And scientists can take old cells, like they did in this case, and revert them to pluripotent stem cells, get rid of their immunogenicity, so they can go from one human to many and transform them into other specific tissues like heart, liver, or kidney. So you can think of stem cells as chameleons that can adapt to whatever situation is needed. How do we get stem cells to reverse the entire cellular clock? Well, we don't know that yet. But you can maybe harvest your own stem cells and grow outside in culture. That takes a little time, because remember, you've got to get 20 to 30 million to make a difference. And you say, well, what about the stem cell clinic down the street that's injecting my stem cells into my knee joint and making it healthier? Ah, they're injecting exosomes, growth factors, and things that have anti-inflammatory properties along with your stem cells, but they're only injecting unusual 500 to 7,000 stem cells. It's doing nothing. The exosomes, growth factors, the anti-inflammatory proteins may be taking away the pain and making you feel like it, but those stem cells aren't doing anything. You need 20 to 30 million, not 500 to 7,000. So that's why they grow them from a donor and they take away the immunogenicity so you can have them grow in you. So the first of the areas we want to talk about is your stem cells, and that's the first of the things we will talk about. The stem cells are the matriarch of the human body. I will give you one more example. So let's just say you had a heart attack or stroke. You need blood flow restored quickly. That's why you get to the hospitals fast, so the exosomes that dying cells secrete can send a signal out to the stem cells so that they need help. Maybe 3 or 4 hours for the heart or brain cells, all you have, for the signal to be sent strongly enough to get your stem cells from your bone marrow and their growth factors in there in high enough concentrations to work their rejuvenating magic in you. And you need a store of viable stem cells in your bone marrow. We learned this process from a transplant of a male heart into a female patient. If the male heart had a heart attack, what kind of cells replaced it? Well, if you had blood flow restored quickly enough, the heart would repair itself with female stem cells from that woman's bone marrow. Yes, initially it was a bad heart with a low ability to send blood to the rest of the body at first, called a low ejection fraction, maybe 15 or 20 or 25%. But as those stem cells from the female grew into heart cells in that male heart, it produced an ejection fraction of 55 to 65% normal. But you need the blood flow. That's why you get to the hospital fast. We used to think that stem cells were immortal, but they aren't. They have only a Hayflick number of duplications, someplace between 80 and 110, and then you run out. So we need to figure out how to get stem cells to be produced by you, or to get them from a factory of stem cells. And that's what's now happening in Japan, and that's the good news. So that's where you get rejuvenated stem cells from the clinic. Well, I've already talked too long, and I actually have only gotten to one subject, stem cells. Next week, we'll talk about senolytics and autophagy. I'm sorry, in the B segment, not next week. And this is the A segment. In the B segment, we'll give you a couple more ideas of these 14 and show you how rapidly longevity as a next disruptor is progressing and why we believe, really, longevity is the next disruptor. And we'll keep talking about how you can prepare for it. We'll be back with the B segment, so download us. I'm going to take a 5-minute break before I start the B segment. Hopefully, you'll just download us right away and go to it. Thanks very much, Caitlin, for great engineering. And thank you for downloading us and listening. Tell your friends about us and rate us weekly. We are, as usual, for this segment, brought to you by Persona Nutrition. MyPersona.com lets you know what you're missing or not in your nutrition so you can be prepared for this longevity as the next disruptor. And by the way, MyPersona.com, you can speak to a nutritionist there and talk about food as well as supplements and vitamins and what you should be eating. Thanks again for downloading us, listening, and hopefully rating us and enjoying it. We'll be back in the B segment as soon as you download us. Thanks again.